opening minds, changing the possibilities by changing perceptions.
Hello, everyone. This is Laura. Welcome to this episode of Changing Perceptions. By way of introduction, I wanted to let you know that the interview you're about to hear was actually recorded several months ago. As is often the case in podcasting, we'll record an episode but withhold it to post at a later point in the year. This may be due to the availability of edited podcasts already in the queue waiting to be posted, or it may have more to do with the relevance of the content we wish to post. In this case, my guest has some time-sensitive information to share, specifically a crowdfunding campaign. I spoke with my guest back in February, and it's now early June, which means there's just a few days left for you to contribute. Please check out our show notes, where I have posted the direct link to the donation page. Please be generous and help Runway of Dreams take flight. All right, I've got Mindy Shire with me. Mindy is the owner and founder of a fashion business called Runway of Dreams, and I wanted to bring her to the Fashionability audience because she has an amazing story, and I know you are going to love her just as much as I do. So, Mindy, please say hello to our audience and tell me the story of Runway of Dreams.
Well, thank you so much. It's a true honor to be on Fashionability. So again, my name is Mindy Shire. I am the proud mom of three beautiful children. My middle child has a very rare form of muscular dystrophy called rigid spine muscular dystrophy. His name is Oliver, and he is one of 70 cases in the world of this type of muscular dystrophy. So I am actually also a fashion designer by trade, and I would say about a year ago when Oliver was 9, he came to me one day after school and said, "Mom, I really want to wear jeans to school tomorrow." Now, Oliver wears leg braces, his body's a little bit differently formed, and he has a lot of trouble with buttons and zippers, and therefore jeans generally are not in consideration the school day because I cannot fit them over his braces, then he really would have troubles going to the bathroom during the night. So it was at that moment that I did have this aha moment that I felt, my God, I have to make a choice right now. Does my son walk in safely to school wearing his braces, and I know that he can go to the bathroom by wearing his typical sweatpants? Or does he walk into school with his head held high, feeling like the other kids, and, you know, I give him a day off of wearing his braces, but yet I worry all day long because he's really not very safe walking without them. And it was truly at that moment that I said, I think I need to combine my worlds and my fashion design background and my complete passion for the differently abled community. And Runway of Dreams was born, and I created this foundation. We became a 501c3 over the summer, which I'm really excited about, and I have made it my complete life mission to make sure that the Runway of Dreams Foundation inspires and motivates the fashion industry and name brand retailers to modify their existing clothing so that it can be adaptive for the differently abled community.
That's an amazing story. And, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention. And I always say mothers are the mother of invention.
I agree.
Moms are some of the most innovative and creative, most effective problem solvers on the planet, aren't they?
I couldn't agree more.
So tell me about the name Runway of Dreams. I just love it. How did you come up with the name of your business?
I know this is going to sound so hokey and so trite, but truly I woke up one night. I do get a lot of ideas like most working moms do. Your brain never shuts off. So I get a lot of thoughts in the middle of the night, and I keep a little notebook by my bed because I always like to write them down. And generally at 3 o'clock in the morning, I think they sound genius. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, that is the most absurd thing I've ever thought of. But this one night, I did wake up in the middle of the night and I said, it needs to be called Runway of Dreams. It truly embodies exactly what I want to say with our foundation, that the runway, which you know, can be interpreted so many ways, you know, the road less traveled, however you want to look at it, you know, and the dream of these kids and young adults and hopefully someday adults have of being able to look and feel and dress like the other kids do is a dream that I intend to make come true. So I wrote it down on my notepad. I woke up in the morning and I said, oh my, this is it. That's the name. And that's how it happened.
What I love about the name Runway of Dreams, as you said, it can be interpreted so many ways. And I know that one way it could be interpreted is a fashion runway, of course. But I also think of an airport runway. It's so evocative of taking flight. I think of Runway of Dreams as a straight line to all good things. It's so positive and uplifting. I just love the name.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the way that you just interpreted it.
So cheers to 3 a.m. brainstorms, right?
Yes. They do work out sometimes.
So tell me more about what you want to do. When you talk about adapting clothing, you're talking about mainstream clothing that people can buy in any store, right?
Correct. Correct.
Do you plan to actually modify the clothing yourself, or are you talking about patterns or diagrams or just making recommendations as to how the clothing can be modified?
Basically, the way this has all evolved with Runway of Dreams is once I decided that there was a real need for this, I went out beyond my community. I live in Livingston, New Jersey, and decided that I needed to really do some solid research on this to make sure that my issues weren't individual to our story. So I created a survey with a marketing agency and floated it out on Facebook on clothing challenges and really asked just a few questions about, you know, different challenges that the differently abled community have with clothing needs, whether that's the ability to find them, are they fashionable, do you feel current and like the other kids in them. And I tell you that we got responses from all over the world and with all different types of disabilities, ranging from limb differences to little people to muscular dystrophy to cerebral palsy, and the list went on and on and on. But the amazing thing was that I really was able to get it into three categories that were common amongst all these different disabilities as it related to clothing. The first one being closures used, buttons, snaps, zippers, hook and eyes were a great challenge. The second one is the having an alternative way to get into the clothes. So, for example, getting things over your head can be very difficult if you don't have that strength needed. So having a way of getting into the clothing, for example, by having a seam up the back of a sweatshirt and you go in hands first and it attaches in the back. And the third way is the third bucket that I discovered through the survey was having adjustability in the clothes. The waistband, the pant lengths, the sleeve lengths made life just that much easier per the survey for all these different disabilities. So I took that information, I went to Target and to Kohl's, bought clothing right off the rack, made these modifications. I had the complete gift of being introduced to Maura Horton, who actually I believe was interviewed by you as well, of Magna Ready. She discovered or created an amazing washable magnet that can be used in garments. And we formed a just unbelievable partnership that all of Runway of Dreams modifications will have her washable magnets in them. So with her expertise and my fashion design background, I was able to create samples that I used in focus groups so that I got a really good sense of, are we on the mark? Does this work? You know, what other changes can we make? And was able to get a solid platform on these modifications that I am now taking to manufacturers and designers and retailers to be able to work with them as now the authority on adapting these clothes on how to make what they already do and are creating adaptive. So to best answer your question, yes, this would be in the pattern making phase, working with the designers of these name brands or manufacturers and just going through the same processes that they already do. But the modifications would be made all the way in the beginning of this, of the process in creating these clothes. But the beautiful part about it is that the differently abled community could go and find a pair of pants that are literally the identical same pair of pants that a typical, for example, 10-year-old is wearing, only it has modifications, so it makes it a little bit easier and possible for them to wear.
So a person who has a disability could go to Target or Kohl's or Macy's or pick a retailer and choose something off the rack, something that all of their friends are wearing, and you would have a version for the non-disabled community that anybody would buy off the rack, and then side by side, there would be a modified version that a person who was mobility impaired might be able to make use of. And it would be, say, a runway of dreams for Kohl's branded item.
You got it. 100%. That's exactly what the mission of Runway of Dreams is, and we are not going to stop until that day comes.
One of the things that you said that really resonates with me as a person who is a member of the blind community is this idea that you want to be able to provide the plans for these modifications and adaptations to mainstream clothing products as opposed to reinventing the wheel or creating non-mainstream or adaptive clothing, because there is a difference between clothing that's currently available that would be thought of as adaptive clothing and mainstream clothing. And adaptive clothing isn't necessarily fashionable or trendy or current in any way or necessarily even attractive, correct?
Correct, exactly. And, you know, I do get asked that question quite often, why I'm not just doing a Runway of Dreams clothing line. And to be honest with you, that would be completely counteractive to what this mission is that fashion should be inclusive for everybody. Everybody should be able to walk into, as you said, for example, a Kohl's or Target, or be able to find it online as their peers to. Because Oliver and all the other young kids out there, or young adults, and again, hopefully someday, they don't feel any different than their peers do and deserve to have the same experiences that they do as it relates to clothing.
Well, and adaptive clothing, whether it's scrubs or sweats or some other sort of, I don't know, institutional-looking garment, isn't fashionable or attractive. And who wants to wear scrubs and sweats all the time?
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is, even, you know, I have spoken at great length to parents whose kids will never be able to dress themselves, and they have to be self-dressed and don't necessarily know about what's current and what's not current. But from the parent perspective, to be able to look at your child and say, oh my God, here she looks adorable and looks like a typical child their age, is again another translation of that feeling good and feeling confident, whether it's the child or the parent. It's a function of our self-esteem and how we are viewed. And just because you are differently able doesn't mean you have to dress or look that way.
One of the reasons this resonates with me as a member of the blindness community is because there's a lot of thought given to the idea of what we refer to as the, quote, blind ghetto. And the blind ghetto is where we have products that are specifically made for people who are blind to use, and they're not mainstream products. They are typically very expensive, they're specialty manufactured, they're limited availability, and because they're not mainstream, they're not being sold by the millions, and therefore they're that much more expensive. They look different, they sound different, they feel different, they're usually larger, clunkier, ugly, they're not as streamlined, they're not as trendy and hip and attractive. And we, you know, we want to use all the same stuff that everyone else is using. We want to use our iPhones, we want to use all of the same gadgets and gizmos that everyone else is using, and not necessarily wallow in the blind ghetto. So there's a lot of thinking and campaigning in the area of making products, assistive technology products in particular, accessible for everyone. In other words, universal design is good design, and universal design is accessible and inclusive of everyone. And the idea that the blindness community can use the mainstream technologies that everyone else is using is very appealing to our community. And I can see where in the clothing or the fashion industry, why the same thing wouldn't be true. I mean, fashion is a multi-billion dollar business, obviously, and what drives that business, a large part of it anyway, are young people who want to dress like their peers. And so the idea that someone who uses a wheelchair or someone who's mobility impaired or someone who has prosthetics or braces or, you know, some assistive device that they may use for ambulation, that they could access mainstream clothing, I would think would make a tremendous difference in their self-concept, their sense of self-esteem.
100%. And actually, there are studies that directly correlate how you feel about yourself in terms of how your clothing affects you. And to your point, yes, there the ghetto that you refer to is identical to what we experience here with the adaptive clothing that's out there. Is not nearly, it's not even in the same realm as what typical kids are wearing. And I think that the fashion industry, you know, undergoes a lot of negative press, so to speak, with photoshopping and the perfect body and the perfect looks and all that. And I feel as though Runway of Dreams is here to not condemn them for not addressing the differently abled community, but rather to say we're here to support and partner with you to show you how this can come to life. 1 in 20 kids in the United States alone have a disability. 1 in 20 is a tremendous number that is not being addressed. And it is, I think in the past has probably been something daunting or that there just has been no experience with. And that's why I'm truly, truly campaigning that Runway of Dreams is here to help and not to condemn.
Tell me about some of the challenges that you've come up against with regard to maybe getting in touch with the right people. How has the reaction been? Have you had any hurdles to overcome? What are you typically told? Has the reception been mostly negative, mostly positive? What kind of progress are you making?
Thankfully, the reception has been truly overwhelming. It has been so incredibly positive, and the support has been just tremendous. But I will say that I continually get asked two questions in most of my high-level meetings that we've been fortunate enough to be in. The first one is, how can you prove that there's a demographic out there, that there's a market for this? And it really is something that I am working day and night. And what I would greatly ask your audience, it's as simple as going to our website at runwayofdreams.org and clicking that support button that we have on there. As every day, we are growing more and more and more with the amount of supporters that we at Runway Dreams are truly building an army, that I can now go into my meetings and say, well, I have the voice of these hopefully hundreds of thousands of people that are not only ready for this, but are in need of this. And that's a huge, huge, powerful tool that we are working tirelessly on building, because then it won't become who's going to be the first brand to do it, but it's going to become who's going to be the first one of many and many that wanted, that will be taking this on. So I would say that is a hurdle that has only driven me more and more every day to get that support button out there and for people to click, and also like our Facebook page at Runway of Dreams, so that I am every day building the support and the army of people that are saying, we need this. We are here and we need to be addressed. The second hurdle, if you will, that I continually get asked is, how can Runway of Dreams help so many different types of disabilities? And through the research that we've done in the focus groups and surveys, you know, I can very clearly answer that question now with the three different areas that we identified that are across the board an issue for different demographics. But I really answer the question in this way. There is a reason why at some point somebody made a baseball hat adjustable, so that it can fit all different types of heads. And that's really the same premise that we go into Runway of Dreams with in our mission, is that we are just trying to fit all different types of bodies and needs.
So I can see that you sort of have a dual challenge. You're not only having to educate the manufacturers and the insiders in the fashion industry, but to a certain degree you need to educate and raise awareness to the public at large so that you can create that demand that the manufacturers want in order to take this on.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a two-prong war that I'm now, war sounds so negative. It's a two-prong effect that Runway of Dreams is taking on right now. It's not only the differently abled community, but as you said, the general public, and as well as educating the fashion industry.
Well, I see an application here not just for people with disabilities, but why not people who are elderly?
Absolutely.
You talk about a huge demographic group of people who could use some assistance getting into and out of their garments.
Absolutely.
That would be a tremendous market as well. You could certainly start with fashion for the teens and tweens, and I can certainly see that this concept would be applicable to all kinds of clothing for people who may not think of themselves as members of a, quote, disabled community, but who maybe just have manual dexterity issues because of arthritis or whatever it may be. I can certainly see why clothing that's mainstream clothing that is easier to get into would be beneficial for a huge group of people. I know people who would consider themselves able-bodied, to use the term, who seek out certain types of garments that they know they would have no struggle getting into or out of. And there are people out there who don't want to use the assistance of an in-home healthcare provider or a caregiver, or they don't want the assistance of someone every day to come in and help them dress. They want to maintain their independence. And again, the idea of a line of clothing that would empower and enable any person of any ability to dress in a fashionable mainstream way and put their best face forward would be so uplifting and help so many people to feel better about themselves.
It's exactly correct. I mean, truly, the list goes on and on who this could help. I just received an email yesterday of a woman who had major shoulder surgery and could no longer dress herself at this point in time. Yes, she was going to heal. Yes, she was going to get better. But for the months and months that she was going to be not able to do this, she was begging for this to happen. I mean, it's very hard to find situations that this wouldn't be helpful for. So it's really the list just goes on, and that's why our mission is a life one for myself and Runway Dreams, because the amount of people that this can help it's simply overwhelming.
I agree. I think people overlook the demographic group of people who are temporarily disabled by an injury or an accident.
Absolutely.
And during that time period, they still may need to be able to go to work and accomplish their daily tasks, go shopping or do whatever it is that they need to do. And they need to be able to do it dressed. You can't walk around in a bathrobe.
Exactly.
So tell me about the next steps for you. What are you trying to accomplish now? What are your short-term goals for Runway of Dreams?
Well, we have a very exciting high-level meeting at the end of this month with a brand they unfortunately can't reveal now, but I am feeling so positive and excited about the response that we have gotten from them. So prior to that, I need and certainly will be talking my face off, truly, to anybody that'll listen to me out there to please go click that support button on runwayofdreams.org, like our Facebook, share our links, share our story, because the numbers of people that we can show that support this will help make this happen. And we are going to make this happen, but we need the support of all of you listening out there to take 1 second out of your day and go to runwayofdreams.org and click that support button and share it with everybody that you know.
Wow, that's really exciting. So there's a real possibility that sometime soon we'll actually see Runway of Dreams products in mainstream clothing stores.
That's what our goal is.
That's really exciting, Mindy. Wow. Well, tell me a little bit about how else people can get in touch with you, show their support, follow you on social media, contact you directly, tell everybody how they can best reach you.
Absolutely. Again, our website is runwayofdreams.org. Our Twitter handle is runwayofdreams1. And our Facebook page is Runway of Dreams. Any and all support that you could give to us in terms of spreading the mission, clicking support, going to our Facebook page, and actually sharing your story with me, because this is what it's all about. So I encourage anybody and everybody to send me an email. And you can either send it to mindy@runwayofdreams.org, and that's M-I-N-D-Y, or you can certainly just shoot it off to info@runwayofdreams.org. And I want to know your story. I want to know what challenges that you have with your clothing issues. I want to know what would make your child or you even make you that much more confident if you were able to have a pair of jeans that fit. I want to know everything about what we can do to make this change happen. And with your support and the amazing community out there with Fashionability, I know that we can do this.
Okay, everyone. So this has been Mindy Shire. Mindy, would you please spell your last name for our audience?
Absolutely. It's S-C-H-E-I-E-R.
Okay. That's for those of you who use a screen reader, as I do, and we often have what I call screen reader pronunciation fail, where the screen reader decides how it wants to pronounce a name, so it's important to get the spelling and the correct pronunciation out there. So everyone, please support Mindy at runwayofdreams.org and click the support button on the website and share your personal story. Use cases and success stories are so valuable in a campaign like this. And is there anything that I didn't ask you that you'd like to share with our audience? Do you have any promotion campaigns coming up? Do you have any other messages you'd like to mention for our audience? Anything else you'd like to share?
You really did a beautiful job of covering everything. Again, I just know that we can do this together, and we are going to make huge change, and your support by going to all of our social media will make this happen.
Okay, everyone. This was Mindy Shire with Runway of Dreams for our Changing Perceptions segment on Fashionability, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. It was a true honor.